Amen. Thank you, trio. What a blessing. Good to see you, Jennifer. Amen. That's a good song. We're having all kinds of problems today, aren't we? Tim's coaster. And all right, anyway, praise the Lord. That's a good song when you think about Memorial Day, of course, remembering those who were taken. And you say, why do you word it that way? Well, you'll see why in just a minute. But good song. I love the offertory. Ben did an excellent job on that, and I was thinking about Ben, and as I often do when our young men play offertories, I think of that balance that God looks for, that strength and beauty, and of course the beauty of playing a musical instrument. That is something, you know, fellas, if you can learn at a young age, praise the Lord, that is a good thing for you to do, and you can do both. As Ben was playing, I kind of started to chuckle a little bit. I remember the basketball game. Ben played on our school basketball team, and I remember the one game where in 5 minutes he went into the game with no fouls when he went in. He fouled out in 5 minutes, I believe. It was either 3 or 5 minutes. It was a world record, I believe, and a couple of guys had blood on them. I mean, Ben was an animal, and then he's playing that piano, and a couple of those times it got pretty loud, and I thought about him, one of those fouls about broke a guy's nose. But not on purpose. I mean, Ben would never do anything like that on purpose. But, boy, we need to have a balance. And thank you, Ben, for the offertory. What a blessing that is. But I call your attention here. Of course, it is Memorial Day, and we do remember those who were taken. And my family always called it Decoration Day. Many of you will go to a cemetery tomorrow, which is actually Memorial Day. I said it's Memorial Day, Memorial Day weekend. And you'll decorate a grave, you'll go to a cemetery, you'll stop and you'll think about folks and remember them. Hopefully we do remember our loved ones more than one day. Especially it is a time to think about those who gave their lives for us in our military. And certainly a great thing to honor them as well. Of course, we compare Memorial Day with the Lord's Supper. It is a memorial time. It is a time, Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. It's a time to remember him. And, of course, a funeral service often is called a memorial service. It is a time of thinking about the person who has been taken. And a lot of times I will reminisce about the person as I'm working on the message for the funeral. And I'll sit and I'll spend quite a bit of time just thinking about how I knew them, things that we did together. And, of course, recently I thought about Al Morin and I thought about some things and things that kind of make you smile. And thinking about the Lord's Supper with Al and how Al would pray for the Lord's Supper. And thinking about deacons' meetings where Al would drink all the coffee. And just a pleasant thing to think about a person. Of course, the greatest thing I think of Al is fighting Kathy to get the souls and lead him to Christ. And Al, on soul winning night, sitting in his car, and him and Dan would sit out there and they'd pray. And I'd think, man, they need to get going. But they're out there praying, and I found out later on, just trying to decide where to go and letting God lead them. I found out they could take a half hour in prayer because they'd be a half hour later than everybody coming back. But just good memories, good things to think about. Here in our text, Elijah is about to be taken. And that's why I use the terminology of those who were taken, because, again, in our text here, Elijah is about to be taken. Elisha and the preacher boys that were around at that time, they had been made aware of the fact that Elijah was going to be taken. They were aware of it. Elijah was aware of it as well, and therefore I get my title, because Elijah said in verse 10, he said, thou hast asked a hard thing, nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken. I mean, everybody knows he's going to be taken. Elijah himself says, when I am taken. That is the title this morning, when I am taken. And the truth of the matter is, folks, to think about, all of us will be someday. Everybody will be taken someday. Father, I do pray you bless the message and that you'll speak to our hearts. Challenge us, Lord, from this passage of Scripture, and help us, Lord, to be prepared when we're taken. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several things I want you to see through this passage. Tonight we will actually finish this chapter, and it's kind of one of those two-part messages. But tonight, mainly keying on the words of Elijah, when I am taken. The first thing I want you to see is the revelation. The revelation. This truth had been revealed to Elijah very, very clearly. Verse 9, he says, before I be taken away from thee. He knew he was going to be taken away. Later on, we find out they knew it was going to be that day. They just didn't know what time. But in verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. He knew he was going to be taken away. He said, hey, Elisha, if you need something out of me, right? I mean, if you're going to need something, if you need advice, if you need counsel, if you need something, he said, before I'm taken away, you better get it. You better get it. And so it's remarkable. He knew that. Verse 10, he says, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. He knew he was going to be taken. He was very aware of the fact that he was going to be taken. So Elijah knew it. Notice, Elisha also knew it. Look at verse 3. Go back to verse 3. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that thy Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Look what he says. And he said, yea, I know it. He knew it. Somehow God had revealed to Elijah he was going to be taken. God had revealed to Elisha that Elijah was going to be taken. Notice verse 5. Sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha. They said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And notice what he tells them. Same thing. He answered, yea, I know it. He said, I know it too. So Elijah knew that he was going to be taken away. Elisha knew that he was going to be taken away. But not only did they know, but the preacher boys also knew that Elijah was going to be taken away. Notice in verse 3, these preacher boys, again, the sons of the prophets, they come to Elisha, and in the middle of verse 3, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? So in verse 3, the preacher boys at Bethel, these sons of the prophets, they knew it. In verse 5, these preacher boys from Jericho, the Bible says, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head? These guys know it. And in verse 7, it says, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood. These are the ones from Jericho. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and they stood to view afar off. What are they viewing? Well, they knew that Elijah was going to be taken. They knew something was going to happen. And so somehow it seems that God revealed to these people that Elijah was going to be taken. Now, I don't know how it was revealed to them. The Bible doesn't say necessarily how it was revealed to them, but every one of them knew. They knew today Elijah was going to be taken, but they didn't know when. They knew nothing about it. Now, understand this. We all know we're going to be taken. I mean, the truth of the matter is, it's not a secret. We know this. We know we're going to be taken. All right? For the Christian, either in death or in the rapture, we're going to be taken. There's no question about that. And so again, it is not a secret. We know just like they knew. Now you say, well, I don't know when. But he didn't know when either. He knew it was going to be that day. It would appear according to the scripture. But we know this. We know we will be taken. Hebrews 9:27, it says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment, we die. We die. One of the great things, and I just told the shepherds, I was preaching to the shepherds over in the school, and I had a great time with them, but I don't like funerals. I do not like preaching funerals. I preached a lot of funerals. I preached too many funerals. But one of the positive things about a funeral is when you stare at a body in a casket, it's real. I mean, sometimes it's the only time you can get people to recognize that death is real. Memorial Day is another time. People will go to a cemetery and they'll remember that loved one that used to be there, maybe cooked meals for him, maybe bought things for him, did things for him, maybe spent times, many, many times sitting and talking and counseling, and now that loved one is no longer there. And again, it is a reminder that death is real. It's appointed unto man once to die. We die. We will be taken. You know, I've had people, well, you know, if I knew I was going to go, I would straighten my life out too, like Elijah here, and make sure everything. But you do know you're going to go. We know we're going to be taken. If you're here today and you've never been saved, understand this. You will die someday. You can, I mean, we could come up with every excuse in the world as to why we're not going to get saved. Well, I want to do this, I want to do that. Truth of the matter is, you don't know that you'll live past this service. I mean, we don't know that we'll live past this day. We will die. Nothing's going to stop it. Doctors are working on it. Oh, you know, they're working on that formula to keep everybody alive. Can you imagine? We'd all starve to death eventually. It's true. It's true. 2 Samuel 14:14, it says, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person." We're just like, you take a glass of water and you pour it in the ground, you're not going to put it back in the glass. It's not going to happen. And death is going to happen. We're not going to stop it. Oh, you know, the doctor came up with this new thing, and the doctor came up with that. And, oh, you know, all these different healthy ways to go and everything else. But we die. We die. It'll never be as healthy as it was in the Garden of Eden, and people die. Death is imminent. It's going to happen. We're going to be taken, either that or Jesus will take us in the rapture. We're going to be taken with death or in the rapture. The verse in 2 Samuel says, "Neither doth God respect any person." Rich people die. Poor people die. Young people die. I was looking back at funerals recently, and I'm amazed how many funerals I've done for people under the age of 20. It's amazing. In fact, the very first funeral I did was a young lady who was just in her 20s. Died of cancer. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying, listen, the fact of the matter is, we should all be able to say this, when I am taken. Just like Elijah, when I am taken. Do you have some things you want to do? As far as I'm concerned, well, someday I'm going to be taken. Do you have some questions? Do you have some counsel? Do you have something that you'd like to request? Because we're all going to be taken someday. When I am taken. Rich die, poor die, young die, old die, white folks die, black folks die, educated people die, non-educated people die. God's revealed it to us just like He revealed it to Elijah. We're going to be taken. Everybody. You know, we read that and we think, wow, boy, he knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to be taken away. He knew it. There was no question about it. And you and I know it too. You know it just like I know it. And we are all going to. God has revealed to us we will either die or we'll go up in the rapture if you're saved. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:51. Keep your place in 2 Kings. 1 Corinthians 15:51. What a passage of Scripture talking about the resurrection. But verse 51 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Praise the Lord. And, you know, let the scoffers mock. Let them make fun of the rapture. Let them, you know, especially after this last prediction and everything, you know, let them mock and let them make fun. One of these days, that is going to happen. We're either going to die or we're going to go up in the rapture. We will be taken. That's why the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. Because it could happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It could happen. You say, well, you know, I don't think the rapture is going to, but you could die. Your heart could stop. I don't know how many funerals I've preached for people whose heart simply stopped. I was telling the shepherds about a young man that I've talked about before. Literally, I mean, he's in Bible college. He was serving God, 27 years old. His wife and he were expecting their first child. And I mean, one morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, it was a Sunday, it was a Monday morning after a very busy Sunday. And Monday morning, 6 o'clock, his heart stopped. They asked the doctor, what happened? What's his heart stopped? What do you mean his heart stopped? It just stopped. Well, I mean, how does a heart? I mean, something had, no, it just stopped. Wow. I remember that. I remember it very clearly. And again, the reality, the fact that, you know what? What does keep us going? Prepare to meet thy God. Are you ready? What if your heart just stopped? What if What if all of a sudden you had a heart attack? What if you had some sort of disease, a stroke? And I mean, literally, you're into eternity. Are you ready? Because the truth of the matter is, God's told us we're going to be taken, just like Elijah. Number one is the revelation. Number two is the reality. The reality. I've already pointed out that several knew, you know, that he was going to be taken. And one of the ones that knew was he himself, Elijah. He knew it, but he was ready. He was ready to be taken. I mean, I watch his life here, and I watch what all is going on, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I mean, come on. The guy was excited. He was ready for God to take him. God says, Elijah, I don't know how God told him. I don't know what it was that brought it about where Elijah knew that he was going to be taken. But something took place in his life, and God revealed to him, and he's ready. He's ready to go. Asher, are you ready to go? If the rapture took place, what about these tornadoes? I don't know if we've had a year. I know in my life, we've not had a year like this as far as tornadoes. I don't know what the history is of it. Unbelievable. But again, that could be here. That could be next week. It's unbelievable. Tornadoes, huge tornadoes, wedge tornadoes, half-mile-wide tornadoes. And are you ready? You're going to be taken. We know we're going to be taken, but are we ready to be taken? The Bible says you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. You may know. Maybe you signed up for the weather alert thing or something like that. Brother Chase called me the other day and said, Pastor, I've got this weather alert thing, you know, and we're under some kind of, I don't remember what it was at that time. But the first thought was, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, I don't want destruction. I don't want buildings destroyed. I certainly don't want loss of life of those that we maybe haven't told about Jesus yet or those that are not saved. But the truth of the matter is, I'm saved. Do you know you're saved? Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? Do you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt? Because you can know it. Praise God. We can know it. And if you don't know it, get saved. Today'd be a great day. Memorial Day weekend, you trust Christ as your Savior. You'd never forget it if you've never been saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know the thing I noticed about Elijah here, and I love this. He kept serving till he was taken. I love that. He just kept going till he was taken. He didn't change his schedule, you know. Folks that got involved in that prediction thing with the rapture and everything, you know, I understand they sold everything and they just sat and waited. you know, hey, listen to me. He wants us to be busy when we're taken. You say, I'm getting too old for that. You can pray. I'm just too old to do what I there's things you can do, though. You can still pray. You can still tell others about the Lord Jesus. There's so many things. Elijah knew he was going to be taken, but he kept right on servant. He did not change his schedule. Oh, I'm about to die. I got to change my schedule. No, you need to keep serving God. I'm about to be taken. You need to. No, just keep going. I love it. Notice, go back to verse 2. First of all, Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. See, God says, go to Bethel. He could have said, well, I'm about to be taken. I got to make sure my hair's right. You know, I got to make sure my teeth are brushed. I got to wait around. And no. God says, I got something for you to do. Go to Bethel. So what's he do? He goes to Bethel. Notice verse 4. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He could have said, yeah, but Lord, I already went to Bethel. I've been busy. I know I'm going to be taken. Shouldn't I get in my little circle and wait? No. God says, I got something for you to do in Jericho. He said, I have something for you to do in Bethel. Now I have something for you to do in Jericho. Wow. And so he does that. Verse 6, the Bible says, Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray here, and pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And now he's going to go to the Jordan River. And he could have said, yeah, but I just went to Bethel. I just went to Jericho. Come on. I mean, I'm waiting to be taken. Isn't that sad that some folks, when they get older, that's kind of their life? I'm just waiting to die. But you still have life for a reason. God has something for you to do. And you can do something. You can't do. Look, I found out at 53 years old, I can't do what I used to do when I was in my 20s. I just, you know, you try and you try and you try. I find it easier to fall asleep. during the day. You know, and I think why? I get so frustrated with the body, and yet it's just how we're made. We start to wear out, you know. That's all right, but I can still do something, and you can too. And Elijah could have easily said, hey, listen, God, I've gone to Bethel, I went to Jericho, I've gone to the Jordan River, and well, look what happens here in verse 8. It says, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. They were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. And I read that and I thought, you know what he'd have missed out on if he'd have just sat waiting to be taken? He'd have missed out on a great miracle. I don't know about you, the Jordan River is a pretty big river. To watch it parted, that'd be a pretty good thing, wouldn't it? I mean, we all read about the Red Sea. We get excited about the Red Sea being parted. Well, the Jordan River is parted too. And the Bible says he went over on dry ground. That had to be exciting. But if he'd have just stood there and waited to be taken. But he said, I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be busy. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray at all hours. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to tell others about Jesus. I go to the store. I've got tracts. I can tell people about Jesus. There's so much I can do. There's much I can't do, but there's so much I can do. And he said, I'm going to do what I can do. And God let him be right in the middle of a miracle. The parting of the Jordan River. That's awesome to even think about. The parting of the Jordan River. And he would have missed it had he just sat around twiddling his thumb saying, okay, take me, God, take me. I'm ready to go. Take me, take me. There's so much to do. So much to do. So much to do. Amen. Notice what he said in verse 9. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Isn't that good? He said, I want to keep serving others till I'm taken. Could you serve others? Huh? You know, I'm thinking of elderly folks, but it's not just elderly folks. It's some folks, you're ready to die in the 50s. There's some folks ready to die in the 40s. Well, I've reached my purpose. No, you haven't. You haven't reached your purpose till you're laying in that casket. Then we can all say they reached their purpose. Well, you know, I just can't do what I used to do. But there's something you can do. And here he found he could serve others. He says to Elisha, he says, hey, before I go, what can I do for you? How can I serve you, Elisha? How can I be a blessing? Do you need some counsel? I'll be glad to counsel you. Do you, can I pray for you? I'll be glad to pray for you. Could I make you some chocolate chip cookies? A couple weeks. Anyway, what can I do for you? I don't want to just be taken. I want to be busy when I'm taken. Amen. What can we do? I'll tell you this. What can you do before you're taken? Because there's nothing you can do after. Nothing. Nothing. Elijah, he knew, but he stayed busy. The reality, we're going to go. We just don't know when. Why not? Then we'd have to be busy all the time. We just need to be busy. Elisha and the preacher boys knew he'd be taken sometime. Now, please get this. Sometime. Today, they said. They didn't know what time. But they found that Elijah was worthy of watching. Certainly Elisha, he stayed with him all the time. He stayed with him. Now, there was a promise that went along with that later on, but I mean, he's worthy. He said, Elijah, wow, I mean, he's my hero. He's my leader. In fact, Elisha said this. He said, I will not leave thee till you go. It's amazing how our time has gone the opposite direction. It seems like the grayer someone's hair, the less time we want to spend with them. It seems like the closer to them being taken, the farther away we get. And it should be the opposite way. Just like Elijah here. I mean, the closer it came to him being taken, Elisha's saying, I'm here. I'm not leaving. Three times. Elijah says, oh, just tarry here and I'm going to go here. He said, I'm going with you. No, 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 no. You don't have to go with me, Elisha. And Elisha said, I'm going with you. I'm not going to just stand here. I'm going with you. I love that. And these preacher boys, they said the same thing. Hey, we're with you. And yet, it seems that younger folks kind of more and more shy away from those who maybe are closer to being taken, at least the way we think. There's so much we can learn from the Elijahs in the world. Certainly Elisha, it was a good thing for him. Verse 3, verse 5, the preacher boy said to Elisha knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Thy master, said it two times, verse 3 and verse 5. The Lord's going to take thy master away. You know, one of these days, young people, your grandparents won't be here. One of these days, your parents won't be here. One of these days, leaders won't be here. People you've looked up to, people that have taught you, people that have led you, people that have counseled you. One of these days, they won't be here. It just seems that we would want to spend more time with them. It always breaks my heart when I go to a nursing home and I see so many folks that have no one. Because there are many. They have no one. I hope that's not your grandparents. I hope that you still spend time wanting to glean. You know, Elijah was worthy of watching. The reality is he kept being worthy all the way until he was taken. You know, praise the Lord for that. I get frustrated, folks. God doesn't expect me to do right the older I get. He expects you to do more right. Amen. Amen. Number one is the revelation. Number two is the reality. Number three is the removal. And here, God does the taking away. Verse 11, it came to pass as they still went on and talked. They're still busy. What do you suppose Elisha is asking Elijah? What do I do about this? What do I do about that? What do I do about this? And I mean, as they're talking, the Bible says, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Whew. That is powerful. That's how God took him. I mean, it's like the rapture. Kind of, you know, a similar kind of a thing. Now you'll notice before they crossed over the Jordan River, and the Bible says in verse 8, it says they were divided hither and thither, so they too went over on dry ground. And the Jordan River often is a picture of death. They crossed over on dry ground. Reminds me of 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Never died, so I don't really know what it's like, but I know what the Bible has said. And for the Christian, it's not a bad thing. It's kind of like crossing the Jordan River on dry ground. I mean, God had the taking of Elijah completely under control, wouldn't you say? Deuteronomy 24 says, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And when that day comes, you can ask the question, O death, where is thy sting? And I notice here it was very sudden. I mean, they're talking. They went on and they talked and they're fellowshipping with one another. And Elijah is doing exactly what God told him to do. And here comes a fiery chariot. By the way, that's not so bad. Amen. You say, well, you know, I might get hit by a Mack truck. But before you ever feel that Mack truck, God can just take you. Yeah, I don't know what that, I've never done it before. Oh, you know, that was such a terrible thing. I mean, I remember when I first started flying, I was the guy that was, the plane was going to fall apart and I was going to fall 40,000 feet into a shark's mouth. You know, I'd be the only person to live falling 40,000 feet, but then I'd land in a shark's mouth and he'd slowly eat me. And I just knew that was going to... But what kind of a God is that can't take care of us all the time like he always does, and he can't take care of us when it's our time to die? Every time I think about this, and here we have the chariot of fire, there's horses of fire, obviously there's horsemen. You know, there's angels taking care of everything. And I always think back to Art and Helen George and how God took them together. I think about God and how he does things like that. separate rooms of the nursing home, but God took one, took Art first, I believe, and then took Helen, and they went, you know, together. And in my mind, I go through that in my mind. And the main thing I'm telling you is this. I'm telling you, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, and it's a passage about the rapture. It says that we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Because we have the hope. I mean, when I am taken, my family knows where I'm going to be. They know they're going to see me again. How about you? You've got loved ones. We're going to see Al again. We know that. But understand, there is sorrow. There is sorrow still. In fact, it's interesting when I read this, Elisha was kind of struggling a little bit. In verse 3, when the sons of the prophets said, do you know that the Lord's going to take your master away? He said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. What do you suppose hold ye your peace means? In the King James, it could mean shutteth uppeth. I think he said, shh, don't talk about it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. I think he's already missing Elijah. He's already thinking about when he's taken. Maybe you do that sometimes. Maybe we all do that sometimes. We have a loved one in the hospital, a loved one with a disease, a loved one, you know, that we're concerned about. And somebody, I don't want to talk about it. I've certainly, as a pastor, I've talked to a lot of folks in that position. I don't want to talk about it. That's kind of where Elisha is right here. Happens in verse 5, sons of the prophets at Jericho, they came to him. And they said the same thing. Don't you know the Lord's going to take your master from you today? He said, I know it. Shh. Quiet. I don't want to talk about it. Doesn't mean he's not spiritual. God gives him a double portion of power here in just a few minutes. No. Look at verse 12. The Bible says this. Elisha saw it. So he sees Elijah taken. Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. That is what death is. He saw him no more. Not on this earth. And he took hold of his own clothes and he rent them in two pieces. Now that is a sign of mourning. Loss. Sad. I often say at the cemetery, it is sad. We're going to miss them, but we'll see them again. Now, I've said this many, many times. I don't know how unsaved people even go to a funeral. If you're here today and you're not saved, you can't understand all that I'm talking about because I'm up here smiling. You're probably thinking, how can he talk about death and smile? Good night. I mean, my parents are both in heaven. My grandparents are in heaven. I've got so many close friends in heaven already. And the older I get, the more folks are there that I love. I'm guessing that someday it will come to the truth that there's more there that I'm close to than there are here. I assume that. But do we mourn? Sure we do. Did Elisha? Sure he did. Did it hurt? Of course it did. Does it hurt us? You know it does. It's a tough thing. It's okay to mourn when someone's taken. But please listen to me. You have to go on. Now, Elisha very simply could have said, that is it. I quit. If God's going to take Elijah from me, my leader, my master, if God's going to take, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do this thing. I promise you this. When we get to heaven, you ask him, he'll tell you, I am so glad. I'm so glad. Even though I tore my clothes, the Bible says, in mourning, I went on. By the way, when you do go on, God always takes care of you. And that brings me to the last thing, number 4, and that is the remembrance. Number 1, the revelation. Number 2, the reality. Number 3, the removal. Number 4 is the remembrance, because Elijah left some things behind. And we do. And others have. He left some things behind. Number 1, he left some memories behind. Elisha had seen great things happen under the ministry of Elijah. Unbelievable. Saw God's power in Elijah's life. Elijah left that behind. Number 2, he left behind a testimony. that man could have power with God. And that affected Elisha, no question. In fact, it so influenced Elisha that Elisha said, when the request was made, he said, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I've watched what you've done, Elijah, and I want a double portion. I don't want just a portion. I want double what you see. I'm so excited about that life of God doing something with me. Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And now you know Elisha's not going to leave at all. He left a testimony. I hope your testimony is one of God doing great things with your life. I hope your testimony is one of God answering prayer. I hope your testimony that you leave behind is one of God's Word just meeting all your needs. I hope it's one where folks say he loved God's Word. He loved God's church. He loved God's people. I hope your testimony is like Elijah's, that a testimony where God's not just somebody we talk about. He's a relationship that we have. He's someone we walk with every day. He's someone that talks to me in the middle of the night. He talks to me when there's a storm. He puts his arms around me when I stand in the cemetery and wonder why. He's God. He's real. I hope you leave that behind to somebody like Elijah did. It was the fact that God is real. God is real. He left behind memories and a testimony, but he left something else too, and I like this. He left behind his mantle. What mantle? Well, the Bible says in verse 8, he took his mantle, he wrapped it together, and he smote the waters. They were divided hither and thither. And then the Bible says that in verse 13 about Elisha, it says he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. So when Elijah was taken up by the chariot, the mantle, the coat, cloak that he was wearing, it fell down. And like I say, Elisha certainly could have just said, I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with this. I've been hurt. I'm mad. I'm not going to go on. And he could have done that. But instead, he looked down. He had just torn his own clothes. Are you listening? Sorrow had caused him to tear his own clothes. But God had more than taken care of replacing them. Amen. I mean, his clothes were rent in pieces, but because of that sorrow, he was quite willing to pick up the mantle that Elijah had dropped. Well, what happened? Verse 14, I mean, immediately he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. We do find out that he did have that double portion of power. He could have quit. He could have given up, but he didn't. And he had that double portion of power. Let me ask you a question. You put yourself in any of these positions. You're Elijah. What are you going to leave behind? What will you leave behind if you're taken? I should say when you're taken, because we all will be. Well, you know, I'm going to clean all that up later on in my life. You don't know how long your life is. What is your life? Amen. It's but a vapor. That's what the Bible says, a vapor. You take a shower and there's steam in the room. And I mean, just as soon as the shower shut off, it isn't long and all that steam's gone. That's our life. I don't know how long my life is. I have no clue, no idea. I just know that I have a life. And as long as my heart beats, I'm breathing, I still have a life. What will you leave behind as far as your life is concerned? What have others left you? You know what breaks my heart? It breaks my heart, Brother Chase, to think that Elisha could have looked at that mantle and said, I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with that. And he would have thrown away all that God had for him. What have others left you? How about that old Sunday school teacher taught you years ago? How about that pastor that you had years and years ago taught you some things? How about that preacher at camp? What about that evangelist that came? What about that teacher in school? What about a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa? Maybe they've gone before. What did they leave for you? Did you pick it up? Did you take it? Was someone's life inspirational to you like Elijah's was to Elisha? Is your life inspirational to others? I don't think we could do a survey right now and say, how many of you would like to die? Because I think we'd all say, well, I don't want to die right now. No way. Now, we might do a survey of how many want the rapture to take place. That'd be a little different. Truth is, it's the same. It's just God taking us. But the big question is, are we really ready? Look around, the people that look at you, the people that watch you, the people that look up to you. What are you going to leave them? Will you leave them inspiration to go on and do something for God? I hope so. Because the truth is, the words, when I am taken, they're true about everybody in this room. When I am taken. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking. No one's talking. You're here today and you'd say, preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. If I were to die right now, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven or not. I've never prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm the only one looking. No one else is looking. You'd be honest today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Slip it up. Anyone? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, I am saved. I've made that decision. But God's spoken to my heart about some things today. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand all over. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. Father, I do pray that we would think real hard about this passage of Scripture from the Word of God. And I pray that we would not only pick up what others have left behind, those that have taught us the Bible, those that have told us to stand, those that have told us taught us to pray, and all those things, Lord, and now they're gone. I pray we would follow them, but I pray we would want to be an inspiration to those that are following us. Please bless now the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, please. Take your hymnals. Turn to 390, 390. Have I done my best for Jesus? God speaking to your heart today. You have a decision to make. You come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. If you need to come, you have a decision to make. Still time. God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you're that one. You're in the midst of sorrow because of someone who was taken. Your heart's broken. God has something for you to pick up. Just like Elisha. Had he quit, he'd have missed out on double portion of God's power. I wonder often how many miss out on what God has for them. God's speaking to your heart. Still time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to come, you come. Amen. All right, look up this way. Ensemble? No ensemble today, but choir at 5. Teens meet at 5. Men's prayer, ladies' prayer, all 5 o'clock. Children's choirs, and then, of course, the church service at 6 o'clock tonight. So don't forget that. Trust you'll be back with us for that. Brother Rob, closing prayer, please.
Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for bringing us today here. We thank you for the message you had the pastor bring today, that we remember those who are taken, but that we learn from Elisha that there are things to be learned and things that we need to be ready for when we are taken. Pray that you'll go with us this afternoon. Bring us back again tonight at the appointed time. We pray all these things in your